I bet we can find something that needs to be done. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. This is our second week. If you play hooky last week, because it was raining. Roads weren't froze. It was raining. But if you missed last week, we started on our series of dealing with extreme makeovers of our life. Five areas that we need to work on to be able to have makeovers in our lives. And these are not easy areas. They're not comfortable areas. They're areas that have to be dealt with, though. And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're first-timer. It doesn't matter in here. It doesn't matter if it's me or it's you. I have to work on these on a regular basis, constantly checking where my time goes, where my what I eat, what I do. Last week, we dealt with the first one, which is time management. How many did the time management sheets this week? Anybody? I talked to two or three this week that did. Some didn't have time to do their time management sheets. Well, if you can find time to do it, they're on the back there, and I urge you to do that. And I told you last week that in my life, time management showed up several things that I've got to work better on. I'm a workaholic by nature. I love what I do. I love serving people. It doesn't matter if it's last week I'm building the puppet stage on Friday for the Wee Church. It doesn't matter if they need stages for the new drama. I'm building three of them last week. I'm built to serve. I love serving because in serving people, that's where my joy comes from. I was called to serve. That's what I was told by God. Look, I was a servant. I didn't come to be served. I served. Now, I send you out the same way. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the what? Because the days are evil. When we talked about time and we discussed that, understand it starts to work from a mindset that we have to first schedule our lives. Now, when we begin to schedule our lives, then we start to set the goals. I told you I needed to work on a couple areas. One of them is working out. I don't spend time doing that. Now I have a time to do it. I just don't make time for it. My job every morning is simply this. I'm supposed to get the kids to school, drop them off by 7:30. If I leave at 7:30 from the school and I head straight here, then I get here about 7:45, and from about that time till 9 o'clock, I have that time to work out, to be able to have showers out here. I have all that. I have everything set up. I made sure we had a place where I could work out, set me a TV up. I've got everything I need. It's just making time for it. Now, part of that problem is that I physically don't want to do it. Anybody ever struggle with that in the morning? It doesn't matter if it's working out. It doesn't matter if it's something you got to get done today. The moment you begin to think of, oh man, I got to do this today. I just don't feel like it today. I don't have the energy. I just don't want to deal with that issue. Let me give you a few here that if maybe during this time you've decided to work on. How about this one? I want to take a night class, and that's something I really wanted to do. I want to educate. I want to start going to junior college, and at night I want to take a night class, and I want to get in this degree, and I want to get something that I don't have. Can I tell you, it will take more energy. You won't be able to do that with the same amount of energy that it took to get up to go to church today. You'll have to work out more or be more proficient with your time. Maybe you say, I want to work at raising my voice. I'm bad about getting mad and I'm bad about losing. Then you're going to have to work because it is when you're tired that you're going to make the biggest mistakes. It's when you're tired is when you're going to lose your cool. We don't blow up early in the morning. It's by the end of the day when we're tired and wore out and somebody says something and we blow up. It's going to take more energy to do good than it does what you have already. Now, how about this one? I want to exercise three or four times a week. How about drop 10 pounds? How about read my Bible regularly? How about volunteer in ministry? Date my spouse. I want to do a book a month. I want to read one book per month. That's something I really want to do. How about stop smoking or drinking or something addictive? How about I say I want to run four times a week? Or just walk a mile. How about get to bed by 10 o'clock every night? It doesn't matter what you choose. The first thing you're going to realize is my time has to change. I realize my scheduling has to change. But then it's going to require within me the energy and the effort to get it done. It's going to require within me the ability, because if I'm just all wore out now and I ain't got time to try anything, and I'm barely getting through, you're going to have a hard time rescheduling yourself. You will quit. Anybody ever start something and then just too hard and just, I'm going to quit and I can't do that anymore? That's normal. Because just saying that I want to do it and needing to do it doesn't make it happen. There then has to be the mindset within me that I physically have to be in shape. If I'm going to build stages and I want to run like I run, I understand this first off. I have to be in good shape. Now, I don't mean that I got to be have a six-pack and all that kind of stuff. I'm at a lucky age now. I told my brother and him yesterday, I said, guys, I don't have to do that anymore. I have a teenage boy. I have a 9-year-old boy. I've just let them inherit what I used to have. I've gone ahead and passed that on down, and now if somebody says, show me your six-pack, I just say, Taylor, raise your shirt, son. I created that six-pack right there. You want to see an up? Nathan, raise your shirt, son. See, I've already transferred those blessings on to other people. I don't have to carry that anymore. But now, whatever it is that you want, I realize that even if I'm going to just do normal things at a high level, I have to be in good shape, mentally, physically, emotionally. I have to be in good shape, because one word can mess up everything. One bad action can mess up anything. One bad day, I can ruin a lot of lives with just one bad day in my life. And so I realize, Tim, you have to work at peak performance every day of your life. You don't have the opportunity to have bad weeks or bad months or to just drop out for a year or to just do. Other people may think, I can do that, I don't feel like doing it anymore. But if you're going to operate at a high level and really see changes in your life, you will realize that it is an idea that begins. I want to work out. I want to do better. I want to read a book. I want to do this. And then there will have to be enough energy behind you to get it done. That's what used to frustrate me about working with old men. And old men used to just, you know, he wasn't in no shape, just half bent over, and you'd think, I'm going to work this old man in the ground. And there I was, man, I was studying it, buddy. We'd get out there in about 6 hours, the bottom of my feet be hurting so bad, I'm thinking, we need to take a break. Son, we barely got going. We're going to waste all our daylight. We need to keep going, son. But I'm thinking, you old man, we got to stop. I'm going to die. And then I got to thinking, for long, I'm going to walk like you, aren't I? That's what your goal is. You want me just... But I, in that pace right there, see, like this, I can't walk all day. But I like this right here. I can walk all day long. I've learned these things. Don't pick them feet up. Just get them high enough to move forward. You ain't got to waste all that energy. You ain't got to waste your energy all day trying to keep your britches up. Just put a belt on. Yeah, you won't waste all that energy. You better use both hands. Get the J. You won't be able to do this. I learned that not only is there a scheduling, but there has to be changes in my life, physically, emotionally, and other things, so that I can actually accomplish what I want to accomplish. Go in your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. And we use this as such a spiritual thing. It's spiritual. But Paul was a very practical man. He was raised in a Pharisee religious mindset, so he understood the value of fasting. He understood the value of eating right. He understood. And so when he talked to these people in Rome, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That is our regular, if you're going to operate with God and you're going to work with God and you're going to run with God, you better understand Jesus was a serving fanatic. In fact, when you study Him, you'll find this one statement about Him. He went about doing... We like to think, He went about healing people. No, that's just a small fraction of who He was. Jesus was one who could work you in the ground doing good and serving. In fact, I'll put it to you this way. When they came to get Him the night they were going to carry Him away, could you distinguish Him from the other 11 that was in the crowd? No, He wasn't dressed up and sitting in the corner and everybody scrubbing His feet. No, Jesus looked like the other 11, fit in with the other 11, because He worked like the other 11. He had a work and a servant. In fact, even they themselves frustrated because they couldn't understand Him coming down. But He made it clear. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. That's what I do. I am a servant mentality. And to do that, it takes enormous energy. Enormous energy. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. You got to get this in your head, guys. It takes health to be able to do the work that you're wanting to do. You have to be healthy enough to accomplish whatever task God's going to give you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your... That's why I tell people, even before I got saved, when I used to go to McDonald's, that was a sin. That was a sin. That wasn't because I went to McDonald's. It's because everything I did back in those days, whether it was go to McDonald's or whatever I did, it was all about what I wanted. And when I walked up to that counter, I didn't think about, you know what, God, I got to honor You in this. I walked up there thinking, oh man, Big Mac's on sale today. Give me two of them. And supersize that thing. Because I'm being blessed. But Paul would say, look, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Everything about you, you are not your own. What you put into it, what you do, how you live, and every aspect of your life is given to God. Right down to what I eat, right down to what I drink, right down to what I watch, right down to whatever goes into this body of mine. And when we get that, then we don't have as much problems with our lives. Let me explain it to you this way. When people ask, what does the word sacrifice really mean? The word sacrifice, when you study it, and you want to go back to any type of history, you want to go back to Webster's, you want to go back to Hebrew, it doesn't matter. It's just very simple. Sacrifice means to put something down that you cannot take back. See, when God taught them how to make sacrifices, here's the way He did it. He said, when you bring it, burn it. Because there's no hope of you getting it back out of the fire. Give it to the priest and let him cut it, kill it, and burn it. Therefore, you can leave and know that that's in God's hands. And Paul said, you know, when you take your body to God, you got to give it as a living sacrifice. God, I cannot take it back. I cannot vote on it. I can't demand anything. It's not mine to get any more. And when you look up the word honor from the word in 1 Corinthians, you have to understand it this way. It is literally to bring glory. It is literally to be able to lay down at the feet of some master what you have. To honor them means literally to lay down what you have at their feet. So when I think of my body, that's what I have to think of. And that's a constant battle. Yesterday we had a birthday party. A man, Trent's cooking hamburgers, and he didn't cook just one per person. No, that would have been the wise. No, he just starts cooking. First batch. Second batch. We got more hamburgers than we got people. We just put them in Ziploc bags. And then 40 minutes later, after that first one's kind of gone down, you're just like I'm going to eat another hamburger. And then before you're leaving, hey, take some hamburgers with you. I don't need any more. Because in our lives, so many times, we live from a feeling, an emotion, and we do not live our lives honoring. But then we wonder why. Well, why can't I get that book a month? I'll tell you why. Because when you eat that 9 o'clock supper and you sit down to read that book, it ain't but 15 minutes and you're ready to go to sleep because you're so full, so miserable. All you want to do is sleep. And then all of a sudden you get up the next day and you don't have no energy because most of the food you ate was not worth anything to eat anyway. I'm going to show you four things. Look at the person beside you. Say four things that you need to understand about your body. And I'm going to use my motorcycle as a perfect illustration for it. Motorcycle is just perfect. It's an extension of my body. And in fact, the first one is simply this: to understand that God cares about your body. I had nothing worse than see a bunch of fat preachers. I mean, that's one of the most saddest things you can ever see. Sitting down at some restaurant, don't take care of themselves, don't. And yet they're going to tell you how to live for God. Well, you can't help it. Oh, yes, they can. Because their job is to be a living example to individuals. Now, don't get me wrong. You may not be skinny. I didn't say they got to be skinny. But you know, understand that if you were lived in the 1800s or you lived in the 1700s, even to become a pastor of the church, one of the qualifications was whether you were a pious man or not. Your piety was held under conviction. They would judge you by your piety, whether you had a holy life, a consecrated life, whether you were a man that took care of themselves. They didn't accept slobs. They didn't accept any of that. They understood that, you know what? Do you take care of yourself? We do not want an unhealthy. We do not want somebody who lays around. We do not want somebody who does not have energy. We want a pious man, somebody whose body is conditioned and honed to do the will of God. Man, imagine if God judged us on that. Are you in condition enough to do what I would ask you to do next? Could you do it? Could you physically do it? Well, Pastor, are you sure? Well, let's look at it this way. In Genesis 2 and 7, I'm just going to go through real quick. Genesis 2 and 7, God molded this body that you have. It wasn't just something He just threw on you. He molded it with His very own hands. And He said, I'm going to mold it, fashion it, and I'm going to put a person inside of it. So when you look at your body, it's something God personally designed. How about this one? In Matthew 6, 25 through 30, we find that God says, you know what? According to your body, your physical needs, I'll meet every single one that you have. That's how important your body is to me. That I will meet your physical needs. You will not starve to death because I'm your God. You will not have to sleep outside. I will provide shelter because I am your God. I will take care of your physical needs. But understand this, as you seek the kingdom, then I'm going to personally take care of all of your needs. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Jesus wore one. He wore a body. A lot of people have a problem with that because they want to make Jesus all man or they want to make Him all God. No, just He was God wrapped in a body. And He had to walk with that body. And He had to talk with that body. And He had to deal with that body. And when they wanted to punish Him, do you know they beat that body? He had to wear a body just like you do. He had to walk just like you do. In fact, He had discomforts just like you do. When people would say, hey, I want to follow you, He would say, look, birds have nests and foxes have holes. I don't even have a place to lay my head at night. Imagine sleeping outside for 3+ years. Imagine traveling from city to city, sleeping in caves and sleeping. And I've been to Israel and I've seen some of the caves. They say these were the places, and when Jesus was near Galilee, this is the kind of place He would have stayed in. Just little holes in the wall, just little bitty cracks in the crevice that Him and His men would have built the fire, and they would have just slept on the ground right outside, hoping that the animals and things of that nature would not have come. In fact, when you read about Him fasting for 40 days, it makes it very clear that He was out there with the wild beasts, and He was out there with no protection. He was out there in a human body. 1 Corinthians 3, we've read, do you realize the Holy Ghost lives inside of your body? Can you imagine the dignity that your body has the moment that God says, I'm going to move in and I'm going to live in your body? That's incredible. The almighty power of God. If you don't know how powerful that is, just read Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. The Bible says, in the beginning there was nothing. There was no form, no anything. And all of a sudden, God spoke. And you know what the next verse says? The Spirit of God moved. That same Spirit that created an entire earth and a world and a universe because God said it, lives inside of you. Right there with all the Coke and the tater chips. And the overeating, and he's inside there, and he's trying to, okay, we got a lot to do. I just don't feel like doing it. Come on, we got to get going. You don't realize, I didn't get enough sleep last night. What? Whose problem is that? Well, it was a good movie. I just couldn't turn it off. The Holy Ghost lives inside. One more thing about this body. 1 Corinthians and Revelation says that this body itself shall be raised from the dead. And that's going to be transformed, renewed. It won't have any disease on it. It won't have any problems with it anymore. But do you know you're going to come down one day if you die before the rapture, before God comes back? You're going to be in heaven, your soul, your spirit. And one day the horn's going to blow and you're going to come back and you're going to reclaim that body. God thinks a lot of that body that He made. God thinks a lot of what He put in time and effort and all the engineering and all the uniqueness. Do you know inside of that body of yours, it has the ability, it has a hearing capacity that if it's in a quiet room, it can hear its own heartbeat. Do you realize that body of yours is so well designed that literally that if you try to build a computer that could do just what your brain does, you know, the one you keep trying to flood in with drugs and flood in with alcohol and burn it up and kill it and destroy it, that same brain, it would take a computer the size of an Empire State Building just to be able to comprehend what your brain can deal with on a normal basis. Just to do what it does on a normal basis. If I say 2 plus 2, it's what? And you don't even think. A computer has to generate, has to think. There are so many things that your brain does without even having to think, without even having to give it any thought. It's just automatic. Boom, 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 boom. So many pictures. Your library inside your brain of pictures of things you've seen, of things you've heard, of every kind of flower that you've ever is already programmed. You couldn't fill a computer with all the photographs that your brain can hold. And most of us, scientists say, only use about one half of its capacity. That's how awesome God is when He created it. Now, this motorcycle is a lot like this. Let me say it this way. Finish this sentence for me. God has provided for my physical well-being by what? Somebody give me some answers. God is taking care of my physical well-being by what? I'm healthy this morning. What else? I can see. I can smell. I can hear. Hair grows on my head without me even having to think about it. I can breathe without even comprehending. I just breathe. My eyes work. I can see everybody in here. We can go on and on. God has met all of my physical needs this morning by giving me this. Now, we take more time thinking about a motorcycle than we would anything else. When we look at a motorcycle, we say, man, that's pretty. But when we look at our bodies, do we say, man, that is awesome what God created. No, we'd rather look at something like this that was just a piece of tin and some metal screwed together and it'll rust and it'll rot and it'll be gone. But yet you've got something so well designed that if I set this thing and just normally kept it, you think it's going to last 70, 80 to 100 years? No, it don't even have a chance to last. But you know God designed you in such a way that your cells will regenerate and remake and redo. And if you won't mess them up and do all kinds of stuff, that for almost anything from 80 to 100 plus years, your body will still keep on going. My grandmother at 92 years old was still mowing grass and growing turnip greens. 92 years from now, you think this thing's still going to be going? No. It'll have to be totally overhauled, rebuilt, if it's even still halfway together. But yet, when we look at something like that, we take more awe in it. We look at a car, or we look at some vehicle, or we look at something outward just for the moment, and we think, that's awesome. Can I tell you the most awesome thing in this building today is the very body that God gave you? The most awesome thing in creation that's in this room today is the body that God said I feel with the Holy Ghost? Do you know the most awesome thing in this room today is the capacity in the brain that He said, I can fill it with my Word, I can fill you with me, I can send you out, and you can do what no other creation I've ever created can do. Yeah, you give him a hand clap. And even for a piece of junk like this, because that's what it is. It's just a piece of metal junk. Man, I will spend time scrubbing it. And some of us don't even brush our teeth. Our teeth are rot out, but man, I'm going to tell you, my car is going to be scrubbed. Some of us don't wipe, some of us don't clean, some of us don't do anything, and we'll spend hundreds of dollars on tire shine and detail. This rag right here, this classic rag that's an oil rag that removes any type of rust from my chrome, because I'm going to tell you something, it takes work to do spokes. I hate spokes. If you ever get on a bike or get anything, I don't care, don't buy spokes, because man, you have to go with every one of them things, and it's hard. And this rag right here, it'll remove any type of it, but this thing cost almost $10. Just this one little old rag right here. Now, it don't work by itself. I still have to work it, but I spent $10 on that. I've got tires shining. I mean, when I go down the road, man, I'm not just going to have tires. They're going to pop. All that type of stuff. You think of how much stuff you spend on actually trying to take care of your body. When we start to first realize the value of what God has given us, let me tell you why people shoot people more today than they did years ago. Let me tell you why people hurt people more now than they used to. Because now we don't value the body the way we used to years ago. Now, years ago, I might punch you in the face. But I didn't want to kill you because that was to remove so much of you. That was an extreme. To actually hear that somebody killed somebody, that's like, oh my goodness. Now it's just normal. Well, there's a murder over here this way, there's a murder over here this way. Two kids came in, robbed a store. What, you know, and you see the video, and the clerk is standing back. He's not even doing anything. They're taking all the money, and then just out of pure meanness, they just pow, pow. And you're like, what did you do that for? He wasn't even fighting. Because once we as Christians and others stop realizing the value of human life, then all of a sudden everything else starts to go down. If you think you're going to put your value on that thing, you're totally messed up. That stuff will pass. If you start putting your value of a house or a car, and when we get to the point to where we think more of a car than we do a baby that's inside our stomach, then I'm going to tell you something. We are a messed up society, and we don't understand the value of anything. God spent precious time and took enormous care. It took enormous thought for Him to design this precious body that you have. Don't waste it. Don't compare it to anything else. The second thing, then what's going in to the body? You know, if you go to a race place, I love doing this. I grew up around dirt tracks and just hanging out. You know, even when they will take that high performance fuel and stuff, you know they don't just pour it in? They'll take a rag over the top and then pour it in as a rag. You know why? Because they don't want one particle, one speck. I mean, they're almost like these old country boys become chemists. They mix the right amount of oil in their gas to keep it from messing up and backfiring and blowing the engine. Just enough to keep it greased. They become chemists out. Anybody ever been around those guys? I mean, they're shade tree guys. You think they don't have no sense. But buddy, you start telling them how to put gas in a car. You tell them what they have to do and do this. And I'm going to tell you something. They can tell you anything and everything. They'll tell you what not to do. Why? Because they think very quality and they think very highly of what goes in that tank. They realize that the life of that thing is what you're putting in that thing. The old saying we used to use all the time is, on the old commercials, you can pay me now, or pay me later. So the question becomes, what do we actually put in? Because we give a lot of thought to our cars, our trucks, and anything like that. But here we are with our own bodies. We'll go by and put premium gas in a car and then run by Taco Bell and just cram a taco in and say, well, I had to get something to eat. Now, don't get me wrong. We'll spend $10 extra for that gas tank, but won't spend $2 extra to eat something better for us. I got a t-shirt just like the one I wore today. This is my t-shirt for today. Anybody wear extra large t-shirts? If you're here after second service, come find me. It'll be yours. Taylor got my first one. He said, I got to have that one. It's the one from last week. But if you want a t-shirt, it'll be yours right after service, the second service. Nothing wrong with McDonald's. I like McDonald's. In fact, I ate McDonald's this morning. A good friend of mine made sure I had McDonald's. Nothing wrong with it. But you have to be very careful, very thoughtful to what you're going to put in that engine of yours. Think about your body. How about think about it this way? Do you know what the cost of surgeries are? Let's just say you're going to drink pops most of the time and You're going to clog your arteries, and one day, maybe in the next 30 years, you have to have a heart surgery. Just thought I'd let you know, heart surgery runs about $200,000 plus. About $200,000 plus. Well, you're gonna do some stuff, and of course, a lot of this fake sugar and stuff like that, you know, they've realized that there's really no difference. That if you're an active person and you just do normal stuff, regular sugar is no different. Only difference is that some of this stuff that they chemically made can cause brain cancer. Well, I don't want to take sugar. I'm going to take some of this other stuff. No, baby, just put the sugar in the... You'll be doing yourself a lot more good. Because even though it says Diet Coke, that stuff that they're substituting for sugar and substituting for that is going to kill you. God created natural stuff, and we somehow think, well, we're going to tweak it, and we're going to put the unnatural stuff in us, and our bodies will deal with it the same way. No, remember who designed the body? He designed it to deal with real, natural stuff. He did not design it to deal with all this stuff that you can't pronounce on the back of the bottle. And now here we are, and we spent all this. How about brain surgery? Well, brain surgery will run you about $750,000. Well, if you just eat bad and wear your gallbladder out and your appendix or anything else, let's look at it this way. An appendix runs about $15,000 for surgery. Gallbladder runs about $12,000. You don't want to take care of your eyes and you want to, you know, mess up your ears by jamming on headphones and wearing your ears out and different things like that. Just to have normal ear surgery runs about $3,000. And then you'll have to spend about $1,000 apiece on a good set of hearing aids just to get you through to you die. Just thought I'd let you know. Yeah. If you want LASIK surgery, it's going to run you about $2,000. Well, let's just say I don't even, you know, I just need some medicine, Brother Lott. Well, depending on what type of stuff you get, you can go from anywhere from $1 to $200 per pill, depending on what type of problems you got physically. I got friends of mine who pull out bottles and they'll say, you know what that one pill cost me? $70. And I'm thinking, I think I'd get healed. But here's the problem. It's hard and our faith won't react when all we've done is jam bad stuff in us. And then one day we decide, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to heal me and I'm going to ask God to deliver me. It's amazing how our faith won't catch hold of it then, because the devil comes along and says, God didn't do that to you, dude. When they pull the oxygen tank up to the front row and they got it all hooked up and they say, Pastor, I want you to pray that God will heal my lungs and this. Well, how'd you get like this? I've been smoking for 42 years and are you still smoking? Yeah. I'm thinking, dude, if an oxygen tank and they done told you you're probably not going to live but 2 more years is going to do you any good, I doubt God really cares. I know it's going to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you, God has sent people all along your life trying to tell you, give that up, change, and I'll work with you. But as long as you're going to be healed, I've seen people right after they had surgeries in hospitals and things, sitting there, I just got to get a cigarette, I just got to get... And I'm thinking, dude, they just cut out half your lung. But here's the thing, if we don't care what goes in, if we're not concerned with what goes in, then we're going to have a life that's going to cut and sputter, and we're going to have a life, and physically, we're not going to be able to do what we want. I may shine, we may dress up, but the inside's going to be horribly running, and it's not going to work. Look at the person beside and say, ooh, that's tough. Yeah. If you go from my motorcycle perspective, I run nothing but 93 or highest octane they've got. In fact, I try to find places that has no ethanol, because my motorcycle does not run good with ethanol. I will drive by 5 gas stations to get to a gas station that does not have ethanol and run it on the highest grade. That's just for a little bike that we just talked about be rotten in about 10 to 15 years. But yet even this, I'm willing to spend almost $1 extra per gallon if I need to, because I want it to run right. One of the biggest complaints I get from people is, it costs too much to eat right. Yes, it does. But look at it this way. You can pay it all at one time one day when they lay you on that operating table. And every month when you get that bill from the hospital that says, you owe this much, and you keep sending that $20 extra every month like I do on bills and stuff like that. I don't know if y'all operate that way. I can't write the full check. I just tell them, look, I'll be sending you $50 till the day I die. And you can pay them then because they're going to accept it then just like they will any other time. When it all mostly could have been prevented. Just simply by what you were willing to put in your body. In fact, God even kind of gives us a little deal, just kind of like my motorcycle. The first time I ever rode my motorcycle, I was so excited. I was fired slap up. Me and Johnny and a few of the other guys, we were going to make a loop. And I rode with them because I hadn't rode in a while. Well, we were cruising along, going down the interstate. By that time, that thing went... And I thought, I just got this bike. Pulled off the side, it went dead. I was so upset. Johnny and them pulled up beside me, and everybody was like, what's wrong, what's wrong? I said, it's gone dead. It's dead. He said, shake it. What good shaking a motorcycle? But what they were saying was, shake it here, see if you hear anything. I shook it. There was no sound. As a pastor, you ain't got no gas. I said, what am I going to do? He said, no problem. He reaches down. I'd never seen this switch on the side of my bike. And he flipped it all the way over from on to reserve. And he said, crank it up. Now, here's the thought, though. He said, Brother Locke, where's the nearest gas station? He said, because you got about 15 miles and it'll be gone. Some of you in this room are getting headaches because of your health problems. You don't take care of yourself. Some of you have to take more aspirin than you eat meals. Because you don't exercise. You don't take care. You don't control what you put in. Some of you physically have hard times getting into bed. Some of you can't hardly get up from a chair if you sit down too long because your circulation's getting so bad. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm telling you, there's a reserve on your engine. And what it's there to tell you is that, you know what? You haven't got a whole lot more miles before something's going to have to be done. You had better put some good gas in the tank. Well, how do I do that, Brother Lott? There's a wonderful thing called fasting. My wife, the first time, I get so tickled when I talk about that. First time, she comes from a different religious background as far as denominational, so they didn't do a lot of fasting and stuff like that. And first time she was going to fast with me. Boy, she was fired up. We had things we want to see done. And well, we it didn't take about 11 o'clock, she called me. She's like, Tim. Oh, Tim, I'm about to die. I mean, I thought, what is wrong with him? I said, are you okay? She said, I'm okay. My head, Tim. It's about to split off. And I just looked at her. I said, Elise, you're an addict. Oh, you should have. There's this long silence on the phone. I said, she said, I am not an addict. I said, Elise, you're an addict. I said, what do you do every morning before you get up and get going? She said, oh, just normal stuff. I said, no, what do you do every morning? Every morning. She said, in the refrigerator, I always keep a Dr. Pepper. And I drink that Dr. Pepper before I can function. And I said, guess what, Lisa? Without that Dr. Pepper, you can't function. That Dr. Pepper controls your life. It tells you whether you can go or can't go. Can do, can't do. I'm not telling you to be a health fanatic. Take it from me. I'm not a health fanatic. But if you want to know where you are physically, take a day to fast. And it don't have to be without everything. Just say, I'm going to eat apples today. Just say, I'm going to eat fruit today. You don't have to just kill yourself. I'm not telling you to fast and starve yourself. Most of us are not prepared physically or emotionally to do that. But I'm telling you, just say, you know what, today I'm just going to carry a bag of apples with me today, and that's what I'm eating today. And watch and see if it doesn't show up some things in your life. That coffee that you drink five times a day, all of a sudden by lunch, I just can't do this. I can't live on no apple. You're going to find out there's some things in your life that even though they're not good, because if I asked you, do you know coffee's not good for you? I know it, but I just can't function with that. Well, you might want to get a control on that thing. You can drink coffee, but you drink coffee when you want to. Don't let coffee tell you when you have to drink it. You can drink a Dr. Pepper, at least still does. But she doesn't have to have them every day or every morning or every situation. It doesn't have to work that way. You can reach a point where you realize I can live on good stuff in my life. Number three, I got to hurry. The third thing is simply this. How do you condition your body? Do y'all know there's benefits for being in shape? Forget just the fact that you can wear skinnier jeans. And that don't last long, guys. That does not last long. It's a whole lot easier to buy one size bigger than it is to work out. Your mind will finally say, it just ain't worth it. And if you get real bad, just buy you a pair of overalls and you just grow to them. It's just... That's when you know you pretty much done lost the battle. I just wear overalls. Don't even worry about it no more. Get them to where they won't even button on the sides. Just I'm here now. I'm here. But the benefits to being in shape are these, and these are the things you need to realize from God's perspective. You have a higher energy level. When you're in shape, you can do more than you've ever done physically. Now, here again, now I'm not talking about being able to run 20 miles. I'm just talking about being in physical enough shape to where I don't lose my breath after a minute and a half. Or I don't just to be able to consistently be able to do things. Higher self-esteem. You're going to feel good about yourself. Higher resistance to sickness. Do you know, part of the reason I don't get sick is not just because I have a covenant of healing, but it's because also I honor God with my body, and I honor Him with what I eat, and I honor Him with what I do, and therefore I expect not to get sick. During this time of year, do you know what I put through this body probably more than anything else? Gallons of orange juice. Dr. Pepper don't really fight off very many colds. But I done found out if you just keep a gallon of orange juice around, you just in the morning, drink orange juice. And at night, before you go to bed, drink orange juice. It's just got all the vitamins. God created something to go in your system that would actually keep you feeling better. Think of God. Man, ain't He smart? Never says He created Pepsi Max or Bard's Root Beer. Boy, that's just the best root beer. Root beer and cream soda. That'll be in heaven. And sweet tea. But it's not on this heaven. It ain't part of the menu. See, if you watch commercials will go like this. They'll give you those diet pills. They'll tell you all this. But if you ever really listen to it, it goes like this. It says, eating right and with a normal workout, you will lose up to... Because I don't care how many times you say, it's just like them Slim Fast type jugs. We used to do that as teenagers, and we'd shed some pounds. We got to do this, and we'd buy some milkshake type things and everything. And I'm gonna tell you something: you drink eight of them things, you're still not gonna lose weight. I mean, because it didn't hurt my appetite any. I just kept drinking them suckers all day long. It was like, well, every time you're hungry, three times a day is what you're supposed to drink them, not eight. And you're supposed to exercise. And you're supposed to eat right when you don't drink one of these. It's not an accident we are where we are. It's because we don't condition our body. Here's the thing it did for me, and here's why I do it probably more than any other reasons. Maybe this will help you. Do you know it increases a hormone level in your body when you exercise? There are specific hormones in your body that when they increase, it doubles the fighting capacity for you to fight off blues and depression. You just get up a lot of times and I don't feel like doing nothing. It's because you don't work out. You're not releasing those. They don't get released sitting there watching TV. I just don't feel good. And you won't because it don't release somebody. You're going to have to turn that thing off, start doing some push-ups and set-ups and doing some other things. And it releases hormones. Elise can tell in my life quicker than anything else. She can look at me just quickly and she say, you need to start working out. You know why? Because she starts watching me look depressed. And the normal strains that I normally carry, which are a lot, that normally don't bother me, people's lives, marriages I'm working with, situations, doesn't bother me. But when I stop working out, it becomes a weight I can't carry. Because I start getting depressed over their situations and depressed over what's going and depressed over, and I just feel overwhelmed and it's like, I don't know if I can carry this anymore. I don't know if I... And it's amazing how I can go work out for 30 minutes and it's like, I can do this. And don't get me wrong, you still got to pray. You still got to do it. But I'm just saying God created your body to operate also along with your spirit and every other part that He gave you. Exercise does good. Now, going back to my motorcycle. Last year I found out my motorcycle has problems. One winter, I just kind of put it up. Didn't do really much to it. About a 3-month period, I just left it in the shed. Pulled it out. First thing I realized, the battery wouldn't work. So first I had to take the seat off and take all that to get to the battery. Had to get all that hooked up. And I thought, finally, get this thing running again. Because it was a pretty day and I was wanting to run. And I told Lisa and the guys in the office, I said, I'm going to Homewood. I'm just going to run, just blow it out a little bit and come back. I got all the way to Homewood. That thing was just... And I was like, man, just needs to be blowed out. I turned it around, started heading back this way. And I got all the way about a mile and a half from here. And it went dead. I mean, I tried to crank it. I did everything. Finally, had to get somebody to help me load it on the trailer. That's so embarrassing. Load it on the trailer. You're hauling your pretty bicycle. And, you know, it's all pretty and shiny. The thing won't run. I hauled it all the way to the shop. And they started tinkering with it. And the guy came out and kind of laughed a little bit. He says, when's the last time you run it? I said, well, you know, last one before it got wintertime. He said, well, there's your problem. He said, all the gas has done gone bad. I said, gas goes bad? Yeah, you can't leave it like that for that long. If cold weather gets in it, your battery will wear down, everything will go down. You've got to run that thing ever so often. If you don't, it won't function. And can I tell you, some of us, what we do is we don't want it to work out. We don't want to do anything. And all of a sudden, one day, we have to walk up the stairs to see Pastor. I get so tickled at y'all. I'm going to make sure my next offices are upstairs too. I am. I may have to do double fly. I may put it on the third floor. You want to see me? You've got to be in shape to get up here to come to me. When you get in shape, then you come see me. Otherwise, call me. You got to be able to walk 4 flights of stairs to see Pastor Lott. Crawl if you have to. Because here's the thing. We just do it so fine, just barely going along. Then all of a sudden, there's a stairwell. We get the top of them stairs. Brother Lott, you're going to have to do something about them stairs, Brother Lott. I don't think I can take that much more than I'm thinking. It's only 12 steps. It's 12 little old steps to go 8 feet in the air. You know, I just don't do good on them stairs stuff. And our lives is like my bike. If we don't exercise, there are going to come moments when we're going to want to exert ourselves. I love watching Biggest Loser. And can I tell you, on Biggest Loser, it's never about trying to be skinny. It's never about... It shows the guy sitting there with his wife and his 2 kids. And he said, you know what got me here? He said, because I tried to go out and play ball with my kids. And I can't even throw a ball with my kids. You know what got me here is the fact that I can't go walk through a normal door to go see my daughter do this. Or I can't see this. You know what? I can't hug my wife without her feeling like she's a million miles away and she's just about to leave me because she's so tired of trying to work around my obesity and work around my... It's got nothing to do with my size or my weight or the fact that I'm big. It has to do with, you know what? It prevents me from being able to do what I want to do and I need to do. And if you can't crank your engine up today, if you couldn't walk, come out of here to this room today, and you couldn't walk steadily for a good mile, half a mile that way and half a mile back without passing out, then you know what? You might need to start doing something, because there's going to come times in your life you might have to walk a mall with somebody, or you might have to walk. And they probably don't want to spend the whole day having to drag you along and watch you sit down every 100 yards. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you, there's going to come times you're going to want to crank it up and you're going to want to ride it. And if you keep the thing in the shed all the time and you never use it and you just think you're going to pull it out when it's convenient, you're going to be badly mistaken and badly upset because it's not going to work when you want it to. Take it from somebody who loves to do stuff. I can't hardly throw a baseball now on my own boy because I've wore that shoulder out so long. When you get to that point, you want to be able to do the things you are physically able to do. Number 4, I'm through. Then how, Brother Lott, do you use this body? Bodybuilders, muscle heads, beach bodies. A lot of people say, I want to be sexier, macho. I want to have the look, size. But that only turns people away. That only turns people away. That never gives you what you're looking for. Never does. The success of the Biggest Loser is because of the purpose of what they do it. Now let me put it to you in this way. The reason I want to be in shape and to have the body that I can have is because of those two scriptures. Go back with me to Romans 12 and verse 1. How does God want me to use this body? He wants to be able to say, Tim, I've got some tasks that I need done. I've got some serving that I need done. And I need you to do it. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians with me. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? See, there's a lot of people that have motorcycles. But not everybody has motorcycles because, well, I have a motorcycle. I have a motorcycle not because I get to ride on it and make people think that I'm tough. I don't get a motorcycle because I'm trying to cover up some image. I have a motorcycle for one reason. Because there's people who ride motorcycles and aren't saved. And whether I'm in a gas station filling up with gas and somebody says, man, that's a cool bike, and we get to start a conversation. Or whether I get to ride with somebody who's never rode a motorcycle, we just get to hang out together and they get to be part of our pack that day. On the four Sundays when we all get together, there's usually always one extra person. Maybe somebody's cousin, somebody's friend, somebody who's never... Most of these people are not church people. Most of them on Sundays, they don't think of church, they think of riding a bike. And for a brief moment, I get to use a motorcycle to tell them about how awesome God is. Can I tell you it works the same way with this body? I get a chance with this body to do things that I couldn't do without it. I get a chance to spend time with Art like this last fall. I'm looking forward to the spring when it warms up. We get to go back and get on in canoes. And we just canoe down Leaf River and get to talk and share, enjoy God's beauty. Or whether I get to run a 15K with people in my church or do different things. Or I don't like running. Anybody in this room hates running, it's me. But I'll do it. Because that's time I get to spend with people I normally never would. God gave me this body to be used for His glory. The happiest people in this room that there are people that use their time and they use the gifts and the strengths and the abilities God gave them for His glory. Every one of you have the same thing I have. You have a body. I urge you to make the most of it. Because like your time, we don't ever get to go back and be what we were 10 years ago. We don't ever get to go back. I'll never be as strong as I used to be. I think God taught me that on my 40-day fast. I lost a lot of muscle then. A lot of muscle, a lot of strength. And to the day I die, I'll never be that strong physically ever again. But I gained something from what I gave that I could never have got trying to keep it for my own self. When you learn to give away what God's given, some time and some strength, you'll accomplish those goals, whether it's reading a book a month, whether it's shedding 10 pounds, whether it's being a better disciple. You'll have to be in shape to get it done. Now, you don't have to look like me. You don't have to be all buff and all that. If you want to see my six-pack, just come get me and I'll take you to Taylor and I'll show you what it looks like. But you do have to be in enough shape to physically, emotionally carry the load that God asks us to carry. Because I don't care who you are in this room, He made one decree: if you're going to be my disciple, first deny yourself, that's time. And pick up your cross, that's weight. And it takes strength to carry a cross. It takes physical strength to carry things. Will you stand?